Hey, you. Subscribe. You're watching Radio Free Cybertron. Hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit TFormers.com.
You have the power!
You have the power!
This is Radio Free Cybertron for February 20th, 2013. I have the touch!
You have the touch!
And the power. So later on during Transformers Rewind, you'll hear JD talk about
Japanese
ambush. Yeah. If you have the what is it 1980 what is it the Transformers 1984 six what is it called 25th anniversary 6 CD collection or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. You'll hear it in a few minutes. It's pretty great.
It's great.
So with us this week, Diecast is joining us.
Hey
Diecast. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Look how I knew you would be very happy. I knew we would have a smiling face on the show.
because he's inexperienced at going through this torment.
And it's a good thing
that somebody's smiling. Usually you guys are so unhappy on the show.
No, we're very happy. We had a Diecast apparently had a bad week, so I wanted to make him feel a little better.
Well, good.
So
I mean, not good that you had a bad week. It's good that we could make you feel better about having a bad week.
And the oldest guy on the call is Chris Triplett. Hey, Chris.
Oh, thanks.
Is he? He's not the oldest guy. Surely I'm. Is he?
He's older than you are.
He's old.
Are you 34?
Yes.
Oh, well, yeah, you're older.
Yeah, sorry.
I won't be 34 until Friday, so.
Oh, okay. Welcome to the Death Club.
Yay! Oh, happy birthday.
So, thank you. Yep.
Yeah. Second oldest is JD. Hey, JD.
Yep. Hi.
And Rob Clay. Hey, Rob. For some reason, JD, I was thinking you were only like a couple of weeks younger than me. You were a couple of weeks younger than I was, so.
Oh. Yeah,
you're older, so that's awesome.
Yeah, I am older.
Hey, Chris, tomorrow is...
Go me!
Tomorrow is Jason's birthday. I'm going to copy you on a nice email that I'm sending him, so I hope you look forward to that.
I bet I know what you're sending him.
Yes, you do.
That'll be awesome.
It'll be awesome. Okay, so...
But I'm excited.
I'll BCC you on it, to JD.
Oh, good.
He'll appreciate it.
I would get the same thing for you, but it just... I wasn't going to pay the money twice, so...
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, this week on the show, we have some news. We have a couple of items. We have Transformers Rewind, which is Showdown on the Surface of the Moon from Master Force.
The boss!
It was pretty awesome. We have comic news, which Rage of the Dinobots number 4, Rob?
Sorry.
Yeah.
So we also have that and lots more. So hey, JD, you got some toys this week. What
I did. I had pre-ordered the Demolition Crew. Their third party names are Apex. And what was the other one? I can't remember now. Sorry, boxes. Geminis, whatever. Anyway, it's Top Spin and Twin Twist. They are, you know, as you would expect, I mean, they're based off the same mold, but with a couple of subtle changes that are nicely done. I'm pretty new to third party, so, it's not necessarily very easy for me to rate them, per se, but, I mean, they're pretty nice.
So, Mike, what's the plastic quality like? That's how I rate anything like that.
I mean, it feels good. I mean, it's maybe a little bit light, but, but not bad. I don't feel like I'm going to break it.
If it fell off your shelf, would it break?
It doesn't feel like it would, but I have carpet, so I don't know how much that skews.
I've been to your house.
I probably wouldn't. Yeah, this is true. I probably wouldn't recommend dropping it on, you know, a hard floor. But
I kept worrying about falling off your guest bed and hurting myself. So I think
right.
There's something strange about your house. The gravity is different there. So
probably that's why.
Yeah,
I look so
you keep
fat.
Telling yourself it's the gravity.
Yes. That's why I look so fat. It's the gravity well in my house. No. But anyway, yeah, no, so cool. I'm happy. I mean, it was like $65 for both of them. So not too bad. And if you pre-ordered, which I did, you get the alternate head for Twin Twist, which is supposed to be based on the Last Stand of the Wreckers, where he's got like part of his face ripped off. So that's fun.
I gotta say, that is an awesome head.
Yeah, it's neat. And I about broke the figure trying to switch it out, so I'm not going to do that again.
Oh, God. How big are they? Are they about the size? Like, I got the not Braun, because Brian gave it to me for Christmas. Are they about that size, or are they a little bit bigger?
They're bigger than the not Braun. They're taller than the not Braun. I would say that they're probably equivalent to a modern Deluxe in terms of the robot mode. Somewhere in that, like, Deluxe range. If my video wasn't frozen, I could give you a size comparison, but I can't.
I remember back in the day when your video wasn't frozen, it was so awesome.
Like those days? I did this, like, remote connection with somebody that was supposed to...
Oh, yeah, shut up. we've heard the story 5 times now.
And it's funny every time. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm paying attention, but I'm also opening Devastator.
Should open those on the Hangout.
I've got more to open on the Hangout.
But see, it's okay, because all of your videos are frozen for me as well. So, you know,
Okay, I'm not going to open those. They're all bagged. I wanted them to fall out, but I was hoping...
I think I already lost pieces of Bruticus. I mean, he doesn't look like he's missing anything, but then again, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I think a piece fell.
Go to Lowe's. I saw the little plastic things that I used to put guns and accessories in on clearance. The ones. Mm.
So the ones. Mean little toy guns, right? You're not like, yes. You're not like hoarding guns or anything, right?
One thing I was going to say about the figures that I forgot to mention, they both come with 2 guns and 1 large hammer. The guns are basically storable in robot mode on the back, or when they're in vehicle mode, you can have both guns out and use the hammer as like an extra gun, or the hammer can also stow underneath the vehicle mode, so you don't have to have it out. But long and short, you can basically... at least in vehicle mode, store everything on it. I haven't figured out where to store the hammer in robot mode, but I'm working on that. So see if I can come up with something here in a minute.
Okay, cool. So you would say these are a buy?
If you're into the third party stuff, I would say buy. And or if you're into like G1 stuff, I wouldn't say like it's a must own.
And these are $60 each.
For the set. It was like $65 for the set.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's not so bad, then.
Let me give you... Demolition Crew is $69.99 right now on Big Bad Toy Store. So, individually, they are $38 a piece.
Okay, that's not so bad. Okay.
Yeah. Especially, like I said, for like a deluxe-sized figure and third-party, yeah, that's not bad at all. The instructions are in color as well, so that's kind of...
Oh, my God.
I know. I was impressed.
That's a mark of quality.
Do we even get that from Hasbro now? They're not
no.
Color, are they?
No. I haven't bought something from Takara in a while. Are Takara manuals still in color or instructions?
I don't think so. Even Hasbro ones are like the monochrome, so... You know.
I think with
we're getting black, white, and red on instructions this year. That's pretty much it.
I think one of the reasons that... the Transformers manuals are in black and white is because it makes it easier to use prototypes to do the transforming.
Yeah.
So, just a little bit easier that way. Let's go ahead and I want to jump to the news, because there like one big news item this week for me. This was announced like immediately after the show almost last week, so we didn't get to talk about it. So hey, it's Striker.
Yeah.
Hey.
Machine Wars Striker.
It's based on Warpath, and it's Striker.
I like it.
I think it's probably the best one we've seen so far. I mean,
I would
the rest of them's kind of been blah, but this one I was like, that's kind of a surprise. I kind of want that now.
Yeah, this is probably the one I would of the ones we've seen. This is one I could I wouldn't mind owning.
I would definitely own this.
The head's very interesting.
Yeah. Go ahead. What were you going to say, Diecast?
Oh, no, I was saying the head's very interesting. It's got a really interesting head sculpt.
Yeah, so the question on this. So does Lanny take the original toy and then Photoshop it? Or does Lanny take, like, a black and white or a monochrome prototype and then Photoshop that?
I would assume he takes the original toy.
That's what I'm thinking, too. We have a shot here of the head of what that is going to look like. And it looks really, really nice. It looks really creepy, honestly. I kind of forget that Stryka's a chick sometimes. But Stryka definitely...
Yeah, she's a chick like the German swim team, but yeah.
So I'm going.
I just like that we're getting something just strange like that. Because, like, when was the last time we saw Stryka? Was it the Universe? Maybe did we get a Universe?
Universe.
So I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something controversial here.
Uh-oh.
For the longest time, people have talked about how much they love Stryka and how she's such a great toy. I never understood it. I never understood what was so great about Stryka.
The original toy?
Yeah,
no, that's cool. I liked
it. The toy was fine. Yeah,
it just never did anything for me.
Rob, back us up. What do you think? You're the toy guy.
I think Rob's asleep.
Silence speaks volumes.
Well, basically this year, considering that most of the Fun Pub stuff drives me crazy, in the long run, I'm just trying to totally ignore it. So I have no comment.
What about the original Stryka, though? That's what we're talking about, the original Stryka figure.
The original Stryka? I actually never got it, and I kind of want to go back and get more Beast Machine stuff, so...
I have a ton full of Beast Machine stuff.
If you want to buy it, dude, I got plenty. I'll sell it all to you.
There are about 8 or 9 Beast Machines toys that I really want to keep. And most of them are basics.
One of them not night screen.
I could chunk a lot.
Not night screen. That is.
Bob, you talk to me after the show, buddy. I'll get you. We'll talk. We'll talk. We'll get you lined up.
But one thing that I am really looking forward to, and I'm definitely getting this because it's the freebie, is Depth Charge. It looks pretty nice. And it's Depth Charge.
It's still Depth Charge. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not like we haven't seen this figure for almost a year.
The question is, did Funpub or did Hasbro produce this figure for Funpub ahead of their subscription toys? Because if that's the case, we'll get this when we're supposed to. If not, it may be pushed back a little bit.
Yeah, that was really nice last year to get like the subscription figure, you know, pretty much on top of the end of the subscription. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard any indication. I mean, hell, they're talking, what, April or June before the subscription figures start coming out? So
yeah.
That sucks. I haven't complained about that, but I'm kind of pissed.
So when is BotCon this year?
June again?
I guess it's June? Yeah, June 27th through 30th.
Okay.
So they'll probably start shipping like the week before BotCon, which is going to be like the most inopportune time for them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so I go to BotCon and they tell me, oh, yeah, your first delivery, it should be at your home right now. Crap!
Well, you know what? Then you can't tell anybody what you got because you're not supposed to tell them what you got. You got to keep the
Yeah, that's going to happen. That's
well, the first comment is
at least we know the first figure is Ultra Mammoth, so there's no mystery with the first one.
Do we know that? Was that?
Yeah.
They said that?
Yeah, they already said the first figure is going to be Ultra Mammoth.
Well, that's the one I want.
If I could just get that one and cancel, I would have done it.
I don't think that's how that works.
So you didn't sign up for this, Chris?
God, no.
So I have to, I get to experience this for you.
Yeah, from this point on, I'm like non TF club. Sorry, I kind of been burned.
I've already scanned figures. I think I'm only keeping Rid Prime and Breakdown. So everything else is for sale.
Yeah, I'd mentioned this before, but Chris's credit card was actually stolen.
Yeah,
So I've got a bad taste in my mouth when it comes to the subscription figures.
I forgot.
That bad taste is ankle raping, is what that is.
Oh. it's okay. If people enjoy what they're getting you, that's great. I'm not going to do it. Sorry.
Yeah, I totally did it for like capitalist reasons because it's like I'm going to sell this for bank, and I actually have done pretty good. I've almost made my money back. So.
That's
one of the figures I really wanted was that Breakdown figure, but now that Fans Project is doing the Menacer and the Not Breakdown, I mean, that Breakdown looks pretty good that they're going to be bringing out.
Yeah, it's one of those things, there's so many third-party toys coming out and so many third-party like combiners now that, I don't know, it's kind of lost its specialness, I guess. It's... I just don't want to drop. I don't want to drop $70 or $80 on it. What is it again? How much is it? How much is it going to run?
The Breakdown is he's around $60.
$60.
Yeah.
So we're and Motor,
a little less than I thought.
Is Motormaster going to be larger? Is he going to be in the same size class?
He's going to be larger. So you're probably looking about for him. He's probably going to be $80 to $100.
Oh,
Are you thinking about it, JD? 60.
Oh,
I think you should get it, JD.
That's tough, man.
I mean, you're always talking about how Minasaur is like your favorite Transformer ever, and if you were
when have I ever said that?
You were telling me that before the show.
When I have ever
it was at Fanboy Versus. It was at Fanboy Versus, and we were talking about how Dan Kitch really is the greatest Ghost Rider. I'll never admit it on the show.
Right. You know? So that episode that you had when you were like strung out on meth for like a month. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad we.
So when I think of Johnny Blaze, I can't help but think of M&Ms. That's basically all I think about now.
When you think about meth, what did you say?
M&Ms.
Okay.
Do you never see the Ghost Rider movie?
The movie,
No, the second one. No.
The first one. No, the first
the
one.
The first one. It was the first.
First one I saw it once.
Yeah, he's that movie's inexorably linked in my mind now to Blaze as the Ghost Rider. Just doesn't work for me anymore. Sorry, but Nicolas Cage should be Hank Pym in Avengers 3. That should still happen.
God, can I get through a week where we don't reference that? My God, that's been referenced every day for this year.
I was thinking about that all day. I really want that.
Okay, here's the clincher, though. How big are these, like, Breakdown, you know, how big are these, like, limb figures?
I think the whole thing is supposed to be, like, 11 and a half inches combined. So... I don't know what the characters would be.
Are there any size comparisons? Because that's what it's going to come down to me. Like, how big are these limb figures?
He's going to be as big as you remember Minotaur being from your youth.
Okay. So he'll be that same size?
Yes.
So how big are these individual robots, though? That's what I'm asking.
I think they're going to be as big as their other causality figures. So, say... the ones for Bruticus. The two add-on figures for Bruticus.
Oh. Hmm.
I'm just guessing they're going to be small deluxe size. Like, roughly about what you expect to get from a deluxe these days.
Okay. That's like Price is Right, where it's like, wah, wah, doo-doo-doo-doo. I don't know anymore.
Yeah.
That's still a little high for the size for me. You know. Especially since I just paid $60 for two figures that are probably larger than those.
Does Amanda know that you bought those two figures for $60, though?
She does now. No, she did. I pre-ordered them, so.
Yeah, Kim found out about these today when she got the mail. I'm like, oh, when I got your Valentine's gift, I got that for me. Which is exactly true. Okay, that's it for the news.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, we're coming down from a toy fair high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. I can't figure out where to put this hammer, so it's basically, it doesn't go anywhere. So in robot mode, if you're not using the hammer, then it's got to sit to the side. But other than that, you know, pretty cool.
But next week, we're going to have our third-party roundup, so there will be lots of news. Hopefully not as much as last third-party roundup, because that was insane.
I got a thing I'm doing next week. Yeah.
Third-party roundup?
Yeah. I've managed to miss, like, every third-party roundup for the last, like, several months, so...
And Rob is taking them off because he doesn't do third-party at all.
Yeah, it's not any kind of particular moral stance or anything. It's more of a financial stance, and it's just...
It makes you cry? Is that what it is?
Pretty much, yeah.
I want these things so bad again!
Yes, I am doing all this research on toys I will never own. This is getting annoying. So, I'm going to sit that one out.
I can afford them, I just can't justify them.
Yeah.
Well, that would be an issue, too, yeah. I've been wrestling with myself justifying $15 deluxes enough that third party is, you know.
That's exactly right. You know, I don't buy a lot of crap that I see on the shelf because, like, I couldn't justify Grimlock. It's like, oh, I want Grimlock, but I would rather have Pretty King. So I got Pretty King. And I think I made the right choice.
I think
I'll have Pretty King on Friday, so I'll be able to let you know on that. I certainly wish I had a Grimlock where the lights still worked, but...
Yeah.
Did you try to get it back to the store? No, I haven't gotten the chance to take it back yet. When I went looking to see if I could, I was basically waiting to find another place that had it in stock because I seem to have one of the only three Grimlocks in Baltimore at the moment. But I did find Beast Hunters Prime when I went out looking for that. So
Voyager, Voyager.
Yeah,
I get
it. I like it a lot.
Did you open yours yet, Chris?
No, I got Predaking and Prime to open. I've been opening Creons. I haven't got to it yet.
Good man.
Strange that at Target the deluxes are $15.49 and then but the Voyagers are actually $19.99. So I got Prime and Predaking each for $19.99, and then I paid $15.49 for whatever dragon figure that deluxe is.
Well, the interesting thing is, did you happen to notice if the Generations Voyagers were that price too? Because I'm under the impression the Generations Voyagers are a couple bucks more than the Beast Hunters ones.
They actually had them when I was there.
I think I noticed that they were a couple of cents more at Walmart. Like, Beast Hunters was maybe like, I don't know, 50 cents cheaper or something.
Okay. Because... Sadly, because it was the only place around that had it, I got Grimlock at Toys R Us, and he was $25 as opposed to the $22 they charged for Beast Hunters. So,
when you were at Walmart yesterday, Chris, how many Grimlocks did they have?
They had two.
I might pick up one tomorrow.
I think it's worth getting, but it's not great.
Go ahead.
Oh, it's not spectacular, but, you know, unlike some of the previous Grimlocks we've gotten, it kind of prioritizes having a good robot mode over having a good dinosaur mode, and considering none of the Grimlocks I have really done that, I'm fine with that.
So, was it someone on the show last week, or maybe Rob Springer on RTM1, that mentioned that the repaint, instead of being Megatron, should be T-Rex?
Oh, God, yes.
On Twitter today.
Marcus Good, our pal Finback, posted that on Facebook, too. I'm like, yeah, I think I would prefer him as T-Rex.
That would be cool and unexpected if they did that.
I think it was Rob Springer, didn't it, that said T-Rex, because I actually replied to him and I said, God, T-Rex, I would love to see that name used again, and I haven't seen that since, what, Beast Machines?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome name.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that if they did that, that would fulfill that whole, you know, someone you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
If they did it as T-Rex. Because, you know, then what would be cool, I mean, not cool, but it would be kind of cool, is that it would leave that open for BotCon to do it later as Megatron.
Yeah.
I'm kind of leaning towards it's going to be Transmetal Megatron, though, because the designs on the shoulders kind of look like turbines to me. So I'm thinking that's where they're going to go with that.
But then, on the same token, it does leave that open to be T-Rex for the club. So, hey, you know.
Either way, the possibility of T-Rex exists.
Yes.
And we're all happy and better for it.
Yay.
Okay, let's go ahead and jump to comic news for this week. This week, XV and Rob review Rage of the Dinobots number 4. And after that, we will jump to Transformers Rewind, Showdown on the Surface of the Moon. We will be back right after this.
You got the ball!
Warning. The following segment may contain spoilers for the most recent Transformers comic books. So this week we'll be talking about the final issue of Rage of the Dinobots. But first, here's Amy with the comics news.
Hello, I'm back again with some more Transformers news in my car. And yes, I probably will do this every week because, hey, I'm a busy woman and that's how it goes. So first up on the news this week is that Jean-Paul Bové is having a birthday this Saturday. So if you see him on Twitter or at a convention or even on Facebook or on his DeviantArt page, just send him out a happy hello. This last week, we had a little bit of a comic leak. Robots in Disguise, issue number 14, was released on Tuesday early because, hey, it's not even been put out yet, right? And you could buy it for $1.99 on iBooks, which if you got lucky and you got it, you got it. I just wanted to put out here that if you got it, don't spoil it for everybody else. You know, it's a good issue. You might want to, you know, rethink that. But other than that, we will review it, of course, when it comes out. Also, don't forget to check the Facebook page, the Transformers Facebook page, for commentary and other reveals, because they put a lot of stuff up there. Just have to put it out there every single day to give a little bit of reminder out there. But also, DeviantArt has other goodies as well. Alex Milne put More Than Meets the Eye, issue number 17, the cover, out on his DeviantArt page, so you can check that. And last, and certainly not least, is the May solicits. So our first solicit is Robots in Disguise, issue number 17. And it's got a shockwave on it, drawn and colored by Livio Ramondelli. So my first instinct is to say that this is probably going to go back to the Orion Pax shockwave thread. And that's exactly what it says in the blurb. So, shockwaves. The fate of Cybertron is sealed, but what is the Decepticon scientist called Shockwave planning? After the stunning revelations in More Than Meets the Eye, okay, haven't gotten those yet, but I guess we will in April, learn the origin of the one-eyed gun-handed master of machinations, and the countdown begins for the biggest Transformers event in comic book history. Okay, we've got another event. It's called Shock Point. And Phil Jimenez will be giving us a variant cover. Yeah, I'm excited for this. Looking forward to reading that. More Than Meets the Eye, issue number 17, will also be out in May. And we have two covers teased for that one. And they feature a lot of the 1984 legislator big bot thingies that we saw in the issue with Skids when he was first introduced. They were following after him. Well, there's a whole lot of them on these covers. So my guess is we're probably going to get to know more about Skids, possibly. But yes, Remain in Light, More Than Meets the Eye's first full-blown epic moves into high gear as Rodimus leads his crew to the gates of heaven or hell. But larger forces are closing in and an ancient plan is reaching fruition. And as an old friend calls time on the Autobots' quest, one thing becomes clear. The legislators are on the march. Okay, so we can get that from the covers. And definitely looking forward to it. So, we also have gotten a reveal. Our next spotlight will be Spotlight Hoist. And we have two covers for that. We've got one from Clayton Crane, I believe. And the other one is by Livio Ramondelli. And it's Hoist. So, what are we going to read about for Hoist? It's a face-off. Hoist has always managed to fade into the background until now. Trapped on an alien planet with a narcissist, half a scientist, and a creature that may or may not turn into a catapult, the Lost Light's mild-mannered maintenance engineer must confront the five most dangerous Decepticons ever. Well, let's see. Who do we know that happens to be the five most dangerous Decepticons ever? Maybe somebody in the DJD, I don't know. You know, I'm guessing here. I'm putting it out here. I'm going to call it. It's got to be the DJD, because they're pretty dangerous. So we'll see how that goes. It is a one-shot, so you never know. It could be them, or I guess it could be others. So I guess I could be wrong as well. But I'm looking forward, in a positive way, even though it kind of has negative consequences, to see more of the DJD, because they were so much fun. So, yeah. We'll also be getting Spotlight, Beast Hunter Spotlight. I'm thrilled that Margaret Scott and Mike Johnson will be writing more Transformers Prime, because I kind of liked Rage of the Dinobots. Thought it was pretty cool. So, Beast Hunters, yeah. Enter Beast Hunters. That's what we're going to be getting in May. And they have three covers that they're teasing. They look fantastic. Beast Hunters. They were there when Cybertron fell, but what happened to the Dinobots for the past few thousand years? Here's a hint. Grimlock and company haven't been sitting around and relaxing. The time is now, the place is Cybertron. The recipe is action. So yes, our first of that will be in May. And this is going to be tying in to Prime Beast Hunters. And it's going to be... The other thing I don't know about is this little thing that they're putting in there called subscription cover available. So I don't know if this is going to be, like, if you get a subscription, you can get this cover. I'm not quite sure. I will get more details on that and have it in a future news section. So keep your ear to the internet or follow me on Twitter. We'll also be getting Rage of the Dinobots trade paperback that month. And we'll be getting Trade Paperback Volume 2 for Regeneration 1, which leads me into the last reveal in the May solicits, is Regeneration 1, issue number 91. And things fall apart. The very fabric of the Transformers universe begins to unravel as huge and ancient cosmic forces take note of Cybertron's and the Cybertronians' descent into chaos and anarchy. As Hot Rod struggles to hold things together, still reeling from his own game-changing wake-up call, competing destructive forces inch closer to a cataclysmic confrontation, the end begins here. And we have a cover, which I'm going to say is by Guido Guidi, which I'm loving that one. I really like the symmetry of what's going on with this. So definitely looking forward to reading, or at least getting that issue, because I really like that cover, because it's really pretty. So, and that pretty much is it for this week's news. Thank you for joining me. This is Amy, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay, so Rage of the Dinobots 4.
Yeah.
We had an interesting time talking about 3.
Yeah, there's really nothing bad enough in this issue to be that interesting to talk about. It's a little bit more solid, I think, than the last one. The art's still kind of wobbly in places, but not ever really horrible. Mm-hmm. Where turns out the whole thing was a setup to, well, we knew it was a setup to lead directly into the Beast Hunters series, but we didn't realize that it was a setup to lead into the Beast Hunters comic prior to this, I don't think.
Mm.
And a fair amount of this issue, just like the first issue, kind of serves as a recap of Fall of Cybertron for those who may not have played the game or may not have realized that it ties into Transformers Prime, sort of.
So what about this issue?
Well, that's part of this issue. It does the recap, and other than that, we wind up the whole thing. And, of course, you know, considering Shockwave is still around in Prime, nothing conclusive is going to happen with that. And, you know, Ultra Magnus leaves the planet. The Dinobots stick around to do something and star in their own monthly series.
So what happened in this comic?
Yeah. Another prison break. Yeah, another prison break.
Well, that sure was, well, that sure was.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you had so much more to say about issue 3.
Yeah, well, like I said, there was something about issue 3 that really needed addressed desperately. There's nothing that really needs addressed desperately here. There's, you know, decent-ish art. We get to see Grimlock's face under the mask and the visor. We get one kind of cute line in the mock argument between Slug and Ultra Magnus. And that's about it.
What a dull ending to a miniseries.
From the writers of Transformers Prime.
Well, how was the art this time around? That was kind of your big thing last time.
Well, like I said, it's a lot more followable. I don't know what it is about trying to do a fight involving about 6 people that makes it easier than a fight involving 2.
Maybe it's because with so many people involved, you are forced to pull back away from the action more.
Yeah, that's probably it. Like I said, I did not have any point. There was no point at this issue where I had to have the dialogue tell me what was actually happening. It was even pretty obvious that the EMP grenade Shockwave was about to use was an EMP grenade without being told.
Mm-hmm.
That part worked out pretty well. I'm kind of hoping it's an issue where he's just kind of getting the artist is just kind of getting the knack of the monthly schedule, because I'm not sure this particular artist has ever done a monthly book before. So with most artists there's a learning curve, and if you keep reading constantly, you will watch a gradual improvement and or change of style, hopefully both. And, I'm hoping that's what we're going to see here, because it looks like we're going to be getting the same team working on Beast Hunters in a couple of months.
Which, of course, at that point, let's just hope that the artist has not forgotten how to cope with a monthly title in the little bit of time between monthly titles.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that he filled the space in between with Spotlight Hoist and has just kind of just been on an even keel from there.
Well, we can but hope.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, when I read the issue, I didn't really find much to take away from it either. Cause like you say, there's only so much they can do because the status quo is established far, far down the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dinobots staying behind to star in their own book in a couple months also kind of shoots in the foot anything that could really happen in this issue, so a lot of it is mostly just pointless space filling.
Yeah. I mean, the actual scenes kind of, we moved from scene to scene, I think, a little quicker than we did in the last one, because we weren't, taking up the middle of our book with a incomprehensible one-on-one fight. But yeah, the end result is that they did at least rescue Ultra Magnus. He gets off the planet, and they rescued an awful lot of other Autobots that I am absolutely confident we will never hear from again, even in the course of the monthly book.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to stick around on Cybertron to have wacky adventures and fight Shockwave.
Yeah.
Actually, probably just fight Shockwave. I could go for some wacky adventures, but I'm not seeing it.
Well, I'm probably better to do that on Cybertron than in the Savage Land.
Yeah.
Slightly more believable.
A little bit.
And, doesn't screw with the Marvel continuity near as much.
Radio
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
Coming from the farthest reaches of the universe to challenge the worst villains on Earth are the most powerful heroes ever in the Battle of the Superpowers Collection. Hark! Batman being called to stop a dastardly deed. New from Kenner's Superpowers Collection, the Batmobile. Figures with power action sold separately.
Got you, Joker. Don't laugh yet.
You missed the war.
It's a trap. Activate Batarang. Trouble, Batman? Not my Batmobile. Unleash phase two.
Is this the end of our heroes in the Batmobile? You decide.
The deadly inhumanoid Tendril lashes out, and the forest comes alive as the Redwoods help their scientist friends.
Nasty Redwoods!
Inhumanoids! Inhumanoids!
The evil that lies within!
Redland and other figures sold separately from Hasbro.
Inhumanoids!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Slime
Pit, new
from the Master of the Universe. You put it together. Action figures
each
sold separately from
Mattel. We now return to Radio Free Cybertron. Radio Free Cybertron.
Transformers.
This week on Transformers Rewind, when you see Jinrai come barreling toward you atop Grand Maximus, you know it's a showdown on the surface of the moon. From Master Force. In this episode, God Jinrai fights a repaint of last year's toy as well as Overlord on the surface of the moon. The fight turns fair when another repaint of another toy from last year joins the fray.
Grand Maximus! 遅れてすまん! Black Zarak! デストロンが地球に呼ぼうとしていたのはお前だったのか? だが、地球をデストロンの本拠地にするなどということは、この私が許さん!
我々の動きをよくキャッチしたな、褒めてやる。 だがそこまでだ。
Overlord and Black Zarak realize there's something to this Jinrai character. It really isn't a bad episode, it's just in Japanese, and I don't like reading subtitles. But I did.
Mm-hmm.
Third time I ever watched it, first time I watched it in straight-up Japanese, not even subtitled. And it's a pretty easy episode to get. Then I watched it again in English. With the dubs. And I watched it subtitled today. And in all three viewings, I really haven't lost much of anything. One of my problems with Master Force, I don't consider it a very a series that's easy to get into, but this one's very very approachable. I mean, you can just sort of jump in and get it, and you know, it's a lot of fighting. That's basically all it is.
It's just fists and faces. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, there's not a lot of depth to it.
Yeah, this is the big toy selling episode, I think, out of all of Master Force.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the one that gives you God Jinrai, and it gives you Overlord, and Black Zarek, and Grand Maximus, all in one episode.
So, look at all these toys!
So look at all of these really friggin' expensive toys!
So
yeah,
what do the Japanese think about this, though? Two of the four toys in this episode that were heavily featured, actually that were featured at all, the rest were in their pretender mode. They were half of them were repaints. The two biggest ones were repainted from the previous series.
But they were awesome repaints.
They were awesome repaints. And, you know, one came with Pretender Shell that, you know, the previous version didn't get. But it's a repaint. I mean, it's not like kids are stupid. The kids
repaint would be cool. I mean, Zarek was a decent retool in terms of, like, the head and stuff. But, yeah. They'll buy it. They bought it. I mean,
probably. Maybe they did. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the toy sales were from that, but you know.
But
I mean, Ginray or Grand Maximus is still one of, you know, a highly sought after figure. You know,
but it's highly sought after because it's rare, or because people want it because he was, you know,
Grand Maximus. I think it's a perceived rarity. You know, it's the same way people. It's the same way anybody on the face of this earth gives a crap about Artfire.
Yeah.
Because it's Japanese. It's not a good toy. Well, I mean, it's Inferno.
It's an okay
fine. It's a fine G1 toy, but it's not an interesting repaint. It's Inferno with a white cab. It's not special. It's not magical. It's not something you should be clamoring for, but by gum, it's Japanese, so anytime anybody mentions Stepper, somebody goes, well, where's Artfire? Is Artfire coming? That probably means we're getting an Artfire. No, that has happened once. And I'm still amazed that we got that Artfire out of Million Publishing.
I like the Pretender Shell. That's what I want.
In this episode, basically, Jinrai is our Super Jinrai, God Jinrai, which actually...
Pick your bloody pick.
He's on the moon fighting both Overlord and Black Zarek. And basically, he's confronting them to protect the Earth from Destron invasion, or what's going on in this episode?
Well, this picks up after a chain of episodes after Master Force crossed over into the halfway point. Like, as soon as it made that cross past its halfway point, they were like, "Right, story arc," and it had Grand Maximus arrive to Earth and say, "Hey, you guys, watch out now! There's a thing coming." And Black Zarek has been encroaching upon Earth for the last batch of episodes. There's a reference in this episode to something he did in an episode or two previously where he caused a meteor bombardment of Earth, like, to herald his coming. And if he gets to Earth, it'll be bad juju. So, that's basically it. It's just to prevent destruction, yeah. And, much is made of the fact that God Jinrai had to... all the Autobots had to work together to build God Bomber so that Jinrai could become God Jinrai and gain the power of flight and go and intercept him before he made it to Earth.
So when did he become Supreme Commander or Commander of the Autobot Forces?
That was, again... Was that the previous... You know, my memories are blowing together, so I don't remember if it was in the previous episode. It was either the previous episode, or it was the episode where they kicked off the story arc and Grand Maximus arrived. And he was appointed Supreme Commander because Metal Hawk said, "You do it."
Metal Hawk was boss. You have a new toy and I don't, so...
Yeah, basically. Metal Hawk...
So you're a truck driver, you can lead, so there you go.
Yeah. I mean, this episode is actually pretty important for Jinrai. It's the transformative moment for Jinrai when he looks down upon the Earth from the moon and realizes the smallness of it all and dedicates himself to protecting it. And it's a statement of the mission statement of Master Force, you know, where it's up to the people of Earth to protect Earth as well, you know, and that is the theme of Master Force, you know. So it's quite a significant one, even though it is one that is largely just full of really...
Punching.
Punching, yes, but not... very languid punching.
Yes, it's not fast, it's not furious. No. It's like, I'm going to shoot you, you're going to fall slowly, and, hey, am I going to attack you when you're down? No, I'm just going to fly
I'll
it.
I'll
just wait for you to get back up.
Well, that's the honorable thing.
Master Force is my... I don't know if it's my least favorite of the Japanese G1 continuity. It's hovering there with Victory. But this is where it sort of gets interesting, more interesting for me, when they move away from the heavily Pretender-focused stuff in the beginning. I love Metal Hawk. I mean, you know, I do like Metal Hawk. I do like, you know, the characters or the toys, sort of. But just the series, it picks up, but to me it just doesn't necessarily go anywhere. It just kind of... I mean, there's a beginning that's one thing, and an end that's another. But just the whole series in general for me just doesn't necessarily work. But what I do like about it is the fact that you have these very... You have this... It's sort of like a... it's sort of like a... What's literally like the point between Headmasters and Victory, where it goes from like being this sort of... I am a very G1 style series to becoming, hey, I'm a really, 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 really Japanese style series. It's just sort of transitional. I don't know. It's okay.
Well, Master Force is my favorite of the Japanese G1 series because it's actually very well structured and has much better characters than any of the other two Japanese series. Like, Japan has proven itself over and over again in Japanese G1 to really not know what to do with robots, super robots, where everyone just has the same personality. Everybody in Headmasters is just brash, and everybody in Victory is just, yes, sir! But everyone in Master Force actually is a character.
They definitely do.
Because they're people.
Yeah, because they... And it's ridiculous that they are... people, and that seems to be what it took for the Japanese production staff to give them personality.
But this
reminds me of like the comics, where it's like, you know what? They're just pretend they're
just
people.
They're people, yeah.
Just pretend they're big robot like people, and just go with that.
Yeah, that's just
they're not like immortal. They're not like strange robotic beings that live for it. Just pretend they're people.
They're just things. Things in general just don't really sit well with me, though, with Master Force. Like, Shinrai's, how he basically looks like Optimus Prime with a very vague explanation for why he does. And it still really doesn't make...
The theory being that it was, like, supposed to be for Prime or something.
Yeah.
Or
something. It's like, oh, you look like Prime, so you're the new leader. Hey, great. Congratulations.
Well, I mean, that's not the... show's fault.
Yeah, that's yeah, that's there's yeah, they're kind
it
of
was
stuck
a big
that.
Toy, so yeah, you know, they it is a big toy and it looked like Omboy, so it was the leader, you know.
Yeah, and the fact
shows,
and the fact, you know, the Autobots do have personalities, that, you know, the Destrons do as well, but
yes,
just
they
sort of...
do. That's I mean, to be fair, usually the Japanese shows are pretty good about giving the baddies personality. Outside of the big boss. Like, the B-level baddies usually are pretty well sketched in. But, so Master Force doesn't stand out particularly in that regard. It carries on the usual standard. Actually, it probably does still aim a little higher than the average Japanese Generation 1 cartoon does. For its baddie personalities.
Go ahead, Don.
Thanks. For me, I agree with Chris. Master Force is my favorite Japanese series, but it also shows what we could have gotten in the U.S. once we got to the Headmasters, the Power Masters, you know, past. If we had gotten something other than Rebirth and had gone in this direction, because it really shows how you can have humans in a Transformer series and it not be a negative connotation, like what so many people say, you know, over these past few years with humans in the U.S. series.
You think
I think the problem is that it's a cultural difference, though. I don't think that the way the U.S. series was handled, that it would have been done that way. You know,
this could never have grown out of that.
No, the direction that the U.S. cartoon was going was for combined identity. And that would have just, which is exactly the way that the comic went as well. And that would have, in fact, the comic almost went the other way where for the headmasters, they actually consumed their human counterparts. They really sort of consumed the identities of the humans they were with, except for Spike. I think Spike was like the exception to that rule where...
And Zarek.
And Zarek, yes.
So
they sort of blended as well, but Zarek blended a little bit more than Spike did. Spike somehow managed to remain sentient, but for the most part, all of the other, even the Power Master combiners, they really sort of just consumed their partners.
So, Master Force never would have arisen organically from the U.S. series, but it really didn't arise organically from the Japanese either.
No,
it's a separate series that's it's connected somehow, vaguely, but it was an entirely separate thing. I question whether or not Master Force would actually have been marketable if it had been released in the West. Part of me thinks that it would have, because, you know, the Transformers, they did a pretty good job of relating, you know, to kids, and kids sort of project themselves onto the Transformers. But if there was a human that was also a Transformer, it might have made it easier to make that connection. It probably, if we'd had something like that in the West, it would have been kids, though. So
a lot of kids in Master Force, anyway.
That's true.
Yeah,
you've got a series where three of the main heroes, and where a lot of the focus is going, is to, you know, Shuta, Cab, and Minerva.
Yeah.
You know, those are kids that are very different personalities, and that would have reached a lot of different kids in the U.S. that might share some of those personality traits. So
I don't think the West was ready for this yet, though. A couple of years, Power Rangers came along, the West would have been ready for it. I don't think in 1988 the West was ready for it just yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, again, this is a very accessible episode. It's something that if you've never watched Master Force before and you're kind of curious as to whether or not you want to, this would be a great episode to start at. So watch it, decide whether or not you like it, then go start back at the beginning and then work your way through.
My favorite part is the whole through the episode they're trying to get a hold of Ginray, and then, like, in the middle of the episode, Grand Maximus is like, "Hey, guys!
What's going on?
Hey, what's up?" And they're like,
"Hey, guys, can I be in this episode?"
And they're like, "Great. Yeah. When you get there, will you talk to Ginray?" "Sure will. Cool. You realize we didn't learn anything from this interaction, right?" "Yep." "All right, cool. I'm glad we did this."
and of course, throughout the entire middle of the episode, Lander is off somewhere drinking.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. That's another one. It's like he's not a human. He's a robot.
Yeah.
but he gets to have a personality.
Yes.
And yes, okay, it's a womanizing drunkard. But, you know.
Something, man.
It's like, can we just sit here and drink wine? Wouldn't that be better?
Like, that sounds great. Let's go with that.
Lander's great. I mean, it's only the other Godmasters who really are the ones that don't get their personalities quite as well sketched in. Like, you know, I could tell you from their debut episodes what the deal with Ranger and Lightfoot is. Lightfoot's personality would... Lightfoot, I'm right, yeah. His personality would kind of reoccur. Ranger's whole thing about love of nature and everything never really came back. And I'll be dipped if I could tell you what Road King's deal was. But, you know, the Autobot pretenders, except for Phoenix, for whatever reason, who just got the shaft as far as appearances and getting to do anything. When,
hey,
you know,
I can fly too! Yeah, whatever.
That's great. Yeah, we gotta make a thing for...
What's sad is he got relegated to that in the Japanese series, and he was probably one of the best U.S. pretenders that we had as far as the toy, and he gets totally shafted because you got awesome Metal Hulk over there in Japan.
Well, it's the same as with Chrome Dome. You know, Western fiction ignored Chrome Dome, and the Headmaster's cartoon ran with him.
The Headmasters couldn't fight without Chrome Dome.
No, he was too brash. They were not brash enough to fight the brashness without the brashness of Chrome Dome.
So I just want to finish this off with my favorite part of the whole episode. Ginray riding Grand Max, charging on Black Zarak was awesome.
Yeah.
And, And that was just this really awesome scene. I wish the toys were designed such that that was easily, you know, done without glue. But
I guess you could spread his legs and balance it.
Yeah, so that was just, I love that. I watched that and I'm like, that is awesome. I want every episode of Transformers to feature something like that.
Yeah, and it wasn't be the last time they bothered to do it either. But it's the one time in the episode where you actually get a little insert song to pep things
yes.
up.
Oh, right. You get Japanese Stan Bush to, like...
I know. Yeah. Give me why you shall transform.
Tell you got the power.
I said, what's great? You know, to take my balls. Let's fight in love.
Indeed.
Well, what's so great about that song is that's the same song they used when Lightfoot first transformed. That's one of my favorite episodes is the Lightfoot episode, just because I've always loved Getaway's toy. And when he transforms for the first time, you get that same insert song.
That was one of the first times they used an insert song, I think, as well. Yeah. If not the first time.
And it's just such, I love that. I have the 5-disc CD of the Japanese music, and I love both versions of that song, even though I don't have no idea what's being said. And I love it when they use it throughout the series.
It's just nice because so much of the rest of the episode has no music at all for some reason. I don't know if they're trying to replicate like the airless terror of space or something.
Yeah, the moon is a dead, desolate world.
The moon is a dead world, like in the earth.
Which allows burning fire.
After all is said and done.
Yes.
At least he's not good.
I'm Buster Jones, and this is Radio Free Cybertron.
Okay, so we are back next week on Transformers Rewind. We are going to be doing Code of Hero.
Woohoo!
So,
woo.
Yes. Pretty excited about that.
So get your quotes ready.
Oh, God, it's such a quotable episode.
It so is.
He's like, you know, like a lot of times we'll sit around and joke and quote, like, about things around a series. With that one, there's just so...
The whole episode
is quotable, yeah.
It's like run through the whole thing.
Yeah, so that was a blast. I'm looking forward to that. So, you know, that's kind of it. So, like I said, not a lot of news going on this week. We have, like I said, just a couple of things. Next week, we will be back with third-party roundup.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. That'll be fun. I want to remind you guys that you need to be watching live Wednesdays. You can hop on probably around 8-ish Eastern time. We have a great chat. Lots of people in there this week just talking about lots of stuff. Lots of awesome stuff. Sorry, I've been focused too much on playing around with these guys here. But usually we do our best to interact with the chat. We always... look to you guys for feedback. Just a lot of fun. It's my favorite part of doing the show. It's the only reason we do it live. It's the only reason we would ever do it live, because other than interacting with people live, what's the point?
Really. Yeah.
So that's why we do this. To even go an extra step further, after the show, we do a live Google Plus Hangout, which Diecast helps out with because he's awesome. And we appreciate that because I don't remember how to set that up. I can barely remember how to set up a Ustream call that's, you know, simulcasted to like three other streams and, you know, multi-channel everything. So,
and all that's just a push click. So, yeah. I mean, it's not like...
God, since I'm here, it must be really freaking you out then, huh?
Yeah.
Remember the days when Triplett used to have to, like, come to your house?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. When he was on in the past, he would actually just come over. But his internet was so awful then.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's gotten a lot better.
He had to fix it so he could be on my show weekly.
Other than Diecast, you have the best video going on right now.
Oh, God.
Diecast video is pretty awesome.
I'm going to take your word for it, because, of course, I suck and I can't see him. He's just sort of vaguely staring at the screen for me. So
yeah, But yeah, so let's see. How it's at tfradio.net/gplus. And my computer didn't like that command, gplus. And Circulus, and we will have our hangout. It'll be fun. And it's a chance to sort of get together and talk about stuff and do things and laugh at people. And kick people.
Kick people, that's the fun
kick
part.
Kick people. Oh, yeah.
Occasionally we have to ban people, but, you know, that's part of the
sometimes
fun.
Sometimes it's kick ban.
Sometimes it is kick banning people. But I can say that our favorite fan Trax came on, and I am still alive. I was not accosted in any way. I have not filed any papers, and I'm okay.
I don't know. I was a little scared.
Court orders.
Again, I will point out that SavCon, when I thought he was there, I was freaked to frickin' death.
I don't blame you.
I was so scared. And my wife, Kim, just took it in stride, and she started looking for him with the camera, and she interviewed him. She interviewed the guy we thought it was. It was great. But we like Trax. I really do. He's a good kid.
Brian, real quick.
Reminds me of me.
Not related to Transformers at all, but you might be excited by this. I'm looking at a picture that just got posted to the DC Facebook. It's a picture of, like, a teaser for the upcoming switchover after, you know, Geoff Johns leaves. And I'm not entirely sure, but that sure looks like a White Lantern Kyle Rayner.
I'm so tired of the non-Green Lanterns. I could okay. care less, yeah, so.
Just saying.
He's not a White Lantern. He's Ion. You're being confused.
No.
I'm fine with Ion.
It's White Lantern.
Okay.
could care less. You know, actually, I do want to say this. This is not a comic show, but you're talking about Geoff Johns leaving. Geoff Johns is, like, probably the most important comic book writer of the last 15 years, probably. And I really don't care that he's leaving Green Lantern.
I don't either. You heard me on the show, yeah. So, you know.
He's been kicking and kicking and kicking that character in that book for so long that he should go back to Action Comics and, like, do some good there.
He should go back to
he's trying to revive.
No, wait, Jonathan Hickman's doing Avengers. Forget that.
Oh, his run on Avengers was awesome.
I would be happy to see Geoff Johns come and do some Marvel again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's with him running stuff at DC, though.
Not gonna happen.
I know. I can dream. I can dream of my Geoff Johns.
Take your meth again, and then you can have your meth month. And
I can dream of my Dan Ketch Ghost Rider series written by Geoff Johns.
Written by Geoff Johns.
Everybody.
Oh, God. Oh, that's like a top 10 list of things that will never happen. Amazing.
I just wish you would go back to Action Comics.
Yeah.
Just drop the Green Lantern, drop the Aquaman.
I don't know, he's trying to make Aquaman cool, dude. Just wait.
Peter David's the only guy that's been able to do that, and I'm sorry, but he's no Peter David.
It's totally going to happen.
No. Yeah, he's no Peter David.
Any day now, bunches of people are going to realize how totally awesome Aquaman is.
Well, if I doubt we'll get closer than Batman Brave and the Bold, because he was a lot of fun there, but, you know.
He was awesome.
That is, like, the best way to do Aquaman, too, and, like, you know.
I only read the first couple of issues of Aquaman, but I have to say, if you're going to make somebody respectable and important, you have to respect the character first. It really didn't seem like he did. So, yeah, that's doomed to fail. Yeah. It's like Peter Porker.
The next event, dude, the big event, you know, is all about Aquaman.
I'm still waiting for the issue where he's in outer space, because I think they need to do that.
Put Aquaman
in outer space.
Yeah.
He's to control a space whale. That's what it would be.
God, put him on the moon. The moon is where you put it. That's the
talk to the space whale.
Okay, so that's Radio Free Cybertron for this week. Diecast, Chris, thank you guys for being on this week. It was fun.
Thank you.
Thanks. We'll see you later. Have a good one.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.